The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now it's time for the first of our three reports from Ireland's fastest growing town. It was last Thursday afternoon when I found myself in the harbour of a wind and rain swept Balbriggan. I'm standing now on a sandy beach in a small town to the north of Dublin City. It's the town of Balbriggan. Behind me, the 11 arches of the railway which edges the harbour. The harbour's over to my right, looking down. The tide is out, so the hulls of the fishing boats and the pleasure boats are lying in the mud. If I look over straight ahead, I see the lighthouse with the balcony trimmed in red. To my left, the Martello Tower in the distance. And this is the Balbriggan that I remember from my youth. It once was just a small fishing village with a linen industry, but what has happened is that it's exploded in the last two decades. It's now Ireland's fastest growing town. It's also Ireland's youngest town, and it's also Ireland's most racially diverse town. That boom that saw the population skyrocket has not gone well in every regard, because the main street used to be the main road between Dublin and Belfast. That's now quiet. Many businesses are boarded up. There's a deep and ongoing concern among residents about the lack of facilities in the town. That's the bad news. The good news is that there's a new plan with investment that could reach up to 50 million euro, and they're hoping that that will revitalise Balbriggan and make it the envy of the nation. But the plan is also looking at the whole issue of integration, because Balbriggan is in many ways a template for the nation. A massive influx of new residents, both Irish people maybe moving out of the city because they couldn't afford city accommodation, and those who are new to the country. And this new population has reshaped the town in a seismic way over the past 20 years. The population has gone from about 8,000 to almost 22,000 people now. Now that's an increase of almost 200%, which is six times the national rate of increase of the population generally. What about diversity? Well, it's the most diverse town in Ireland. Almost one in three people living in this town were born outside Ireland. I mentioned it's the youngest town in Ireland. Many of those young people come from various different backgrounds, different cultures. Here they all meet and live side by side. Now, Ireland is in the early days of opening our doors to newcomers, largely because nobody particularly wanted to come here for so long. And while in Britain and in mainland Europe, the process of integration, immigration and so on happened over many decades, it's happened much, much quicker here. So we've come to Balbriggan to ask, how is Ireland dealing with integration? Because what happens here will be keenly observed across the country. We're going to ask if this town can be resurrected and to ask how Ireland is doing when it comes to integrating new cultures into traditional Irish society. Our first port of call this morning is what is known as the Flemington area of the town. Now, this is the new part of town. The housing estates, well, they seem to stretch for miles and miles and miles. But there's one thing that's particularly noticeable, and it's quite different to a lot of other Irish towns. That's the sheer numbers of children and teenagers going about the town. They appear to be of every race and culture imaginable. I suppose Flemington could be considered ground zero for Balbriggan's efforts to get integration right, because it's here, through the schools, the sports clubs and every arm of the state, that work is being done to integrate a rapidly growing, young and very diverse population. So, to start us off on our journey around the town, I'm going to meet a man who's been at the coalface of many of these efforts. He's a local independent councillor, Tony Murphy. Independent Councillor Tony Murphy, thanks very much for talking to us. This is Balbriggan, a Balbriggan I do not know.
Yeah, this part of Balbriggan is very new. What you're looking at now is Northwest Balbriggan and has developed out over the last 10 years. It's an amazing space with many different diverse cultures, new to everybody, and a lot of people here from different parts of the world, African nations, European countries, and we're all learning each other's way of living. So it's an interesting space.
15 years ago, if I was standing in this spot, what would have been here?
You would have seen guys picking potatoes. That's exactly what you would have seen.
And now, as far as the eye can see, I can see housing estates. I mean, of all different shapes and sizes. Some obviously are council estates, some are private.
Yeah, there's a lot of local authority housing in here. Would have been delivered through the planning process on the Part 5. So at the time this development was being built out, we would have had 20% social affordable as part of the planning permission that was given to developers on this site.
Now tell me about the growth in the population of Balbriggan. I mean, if you go back to a time when the population was fairly static to today, in the space of what, 15 years, the population has multiplied by 2.5.
So we would have went from just under 10,000 to about 22, 23,000 now. So with all of that growth, I think it was a perfect storm. We had lots of money available to us at the time. There was major growth in the country. There was a lot of development, and as a consequence, everyone was trying to get on the property ladder. We also had direct provision centre in Mosny, so within the social and affordable elements that come in here, that created an opportunity for people to get housing in this area. So that's how we have such ethnicity and diversity of culture in this area as well. Yeah.
Can you give me something about the numbers? I mean, how many would be people born and bred in Balbriggan, and therefore, by and large, a white population? How many would be immigrants from either Eastern Europe, also white, and then from African countries who would not be white?
Next to the Irish and the Polish and Eastern European are the next largest population, and then you have a makeup of African nations, of which the Nigerian community will be the biggest of those. In percentage terms, I would say that we're looking at probably, I would say 60% is Irish, and the makeup after that would be probably 15%, you know, of African nations, you know, so.
It's certainly a challenge to integrate people of different cultures, of different backgrounds, of different racial ethnicities together in such a short space of time. I mean, in Britain, you know, they've done it over generations and it hasn't always succeeded. Here we're expecting the people of Balbriggan, wherever they've originally come from, to kind of get on well together, even though they might not have a lot in common.
Yeah, I think there's another uniqueness apart from the ethnicity and diversity, I think, is the Balbriggan being the youngest town in the country, and Fingal being the fastest growing area in Europe.
The average age here is something like 30.8 years of age, and that includes every Alpha and L1 down to the babies.
It does, yeah. So when you have probably about 7,500 kids between primary school and secondary schools in Balbriggan, so yeah, absolutely, there are challenges, but Fingal County Council recognise that and have put in a socioeconomic strategy. It's been chaired, the leadership group has been chaired by Professor Bray McGrath. There's some very, very high level expertise around the table in order to look at how best we deliver for the communities in Balbriggan, because there are many communities and we need to create that synergy so we do end up with a community that can get on and thrive and prosper in this area.
When you say communities, you're not talking about geographical communities, because obviously there are housing estates here and housing estates there. You're talking about people from different backgrounds. Say the Nigerians might tend to live close to each other, would they? And the Polish people might tend to congregate a bit, and you want to create a real melting pot here.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're exactly right. They do tend to, it's like what the Irish did when we were in England or in America, that you naturally gravitate to your own people, you feel safe there, and we need to try and open them up to understand our culture and accept things the way we do it and understand what they try to live by in their code, or whether it's religion or cultural practice.
Now, what kind of cultural divergences have you seen?
So I'll say, okay, difference of understanding in some occasions with maybe with authority from different sectors, that would pose some problems. I would say that, I mean, we had a recent research done in Flemington on the livability, and one positive, major positive piece to come out from that research was that all of the groups felt accepted in Balbriggan by each other, which is a very, very positive starting point. But certainly there would be differences of understanding, differences the way people drive their cars, you know, simple things, everyday practices, you know. So yeah, it can be irritating if somebody is not driving in the way that we accept that they should be.
there is going to be serious money available now for a plan for Balbriggan. I believe that, uniquely perhaps, that the population were canvassed. It was a survey.
Absolutely, and I think that's key. Communication through the whole process is going to unravel any issues that come to the fore. We actually had a little over 4,000 separate engagements from the community to Fingal County Council, expressing what they would see in best practice for their town that they want to live in and grow up in.
Now, obviously there'll be money put into community activity, but there'll also be physical infrastructure built. What do the people want?
Well, the big ticket items that came out of it was we sit on the coast with an amazing harbour, working harbour. We also have a crescent-shaped beach, which is amazing, right? But it's tired and it needs investment. Those two elements came up very, very strong, but also there was massive support for a swimming pool.
Because one of the issues seems to be that the young people don't seem to feel they've a place to hang out. So if you don't have a location where you can recreate and horseplay, if you like, among yourselves, you're going to hang out in the town.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, on that, that again was a big piece that came out, that there isn't a social space. But I would say that we're also on the cusp of change within the capacity for the local sporting clubs to deliver more for the community. We have the local O'Dwyer's GAA club, who are embarking on a €5 million project for a new clubhouse and playing pitches. But it does need more support. I've been canvassing the county board for funding in order to support that. I mean, when you look at a town with the youngest population in the country, where else would you seek to find the talent? You know, we have Balbriggan FC soccer club that actually has 800 members. So within the sporting facilities that are there, we're on the cusp of change. We do need a little bit of a nudge forward on that.
Well, as long as those who are playing soccer declare for Mick McCarthy. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Independent Councillor Tony Murphy, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Pat. Thank you.
Tony Murphy there. But before I met Tony, actually, I bumped into a local resident who came up to me. Her name is Maria, and she told me how long she'd lived in Balbriggan.
Oh, 11 years.
So you came here when the town was just beginning to grow at a tremendous pace.
Yes, I did.
Now, do you like it here?
I love it. I love it here. I love all the amenities that have come since I've come here.
And what about all the people? I mean, they come from far and wide. They come from Africa, from Eastern Europe, from all over the place.
Yeah, there's an amazing mix of people here. I heard that there was something like 70 different nationalities living in Balbriggan. And I just love it. My daughter goes to the Educate Together school here in Balbriggan and she loves it too.
Okay, so you're happy here in the fastest growing town in Ireland.
Very happy.
Thank you very much. We're going to come back to Flemington later in the week to hear about how the schools and the Gardaí are managing the unique challenges and, I suppose, the opportunities posed by a town like Balbriggan. But first of all, we want to get a sense of how the town has changed. And for that, we have to go down to the old part of town near the harbour. We have with us now Gareth Mullen, who is community activist. Now, looking around the town, compared to, say, the Flemington area, I'd say the centre of the town is a bit more careworn.
It is. I suppose 40 years ago, up to then, Balbriggan would have been known as a small textile town. Up to the 1980s, it was probably known as a bottleneck town on the way to Belfast, where you get stuck in traffic. And then with the motorway and the bypass, people have maybe forgotten about it, but it's now a town of 25,000 people. But the town centre is more or less the same as it was sort of 25 years ago. Not a lot has changed. And
how many of the shops are closed now?
That's one of the things that people feel very strongly about and feel like the area has been neglected. And I think you'll see that quite clearly as we walk around the corner here.
Now, going down through the town and looking at the number of shops that are closed, and then the other feature are the charity shops and the fast food joints.
Yeah, there's a lot of fast food joints in Balbriggan. I think it's maybe 15 to 18. That seems to be the business that survives on the high street. And 12, 13 years ago, a new shopping centre was built on the outskirts, and a lot of people see that as a cause of decline of the high street. But even that shopping centre is got a lot of vacancy as well, so retail is struggling in both in the town but also outside. There is a plan the council are looking at called Our Balbriggan, and they consulted with residents and they got a great response. They got 4,000 people to contribute to a survey with people's thoughts about what could be improved in the area. So Balbriggan really needs a plan in terms of regenerating the high street.
Now, we've stopped outside a doorway, number 11 Bridge Street, which is between Dublin Street and Drogheda Street, which suggests to me this used to be the old Dublin Belfast Road. I cannot believe it. It's narrow, it's winding, and we used to drive through this.
It's hard to imagine that this is the main road to Belfast from Dublin. And it's still actually clogged up with traffic quite often, but it's traffic reaching the surrounding estates as opposed to traffic on its way to other places.
Now, the reason we paused here is that the council have put up a sign. It's number 3, the sack of Balbriggan. Now, there's loads of these around the place.
Yeah, the council have developed this heritage trail to encourage interest, I suppose, in the heritage of the town. And this one in particular is next to the bridge where two locals were killed by the RIC in 1920 during the sack of Balbriggan, when the RIC and British forces burnt out a lot of the factories, houses and other establishments in the town. Looking around, you wouldn't actually notice that this is a historic building because it's a laundrette nowadays with a plastic veneer.
Looking around me, Garrett, there are all the signs of a multinational town. So integration is the buzzword for Balbriggan. Is it working?
I think it's too early to say, you know, because I think we've got to get these stories out there and explore what's that mean. And like, I think maybe people don't have an opportunity to meet each other. Like, there isn't much of a social life in Balbriggan. It's a commuter town. People, they work all day and then they stay at home. And so there aren't opportunities to meet.
I suspect it'll happen when the kids are all integrating and then the parents will meet each other, maybe at the school gate or at school functions, and friendships are born.
Yeah, I know, talk to youth workers and teachers and young people themselves, they talk less of a problem of racism, say, between young people, but more of a problem of racism from older people who maybe don't have so much contact with young people from different backgrounds. So I guess it might change, but I would think in terms of integration, what's needed is an active intervention, support from the government to address these issues, these challenges, because there is racism, but it is along those lines, less between young people, maybe more from older people to people that they don't have contact with. You know, if you don't know, you might have prejudice about certain groups.
Garrett Mullen. One of my most entertaining encounters in Balbriggan was a man who's a lifelong resident of Balbriggan. His name is Noel Slevin.
I was born up the street nearly 80 years ago, and the town has deteriorated rapidly.
I'll ask your name, first of all.
Noel Slevin. Well, I can't say it off camera. I've passed for Brad Pitt. No, seriously, I was born up the street nearly 80 years ago, and the town has deteriorated drastically.
In what way?
In a sense, there's nothing in the centre of the town. Since they built the new Billfield shopping centre, the centre of town has just died. Shops are closing, and there's at least 30 takeaways in the town.
What about the change in the population? I mean, you were born here, but there are many people here now who have come from all over the world to live in Balbriggan.
There isn't a country in the world that doesn't have a person living in Balbriggan. Because I spoke recently just today to a Russian girl. Yesterday I spoke to a lady from Peru living in Balbriggan.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's good in the sense if they're not depending on the state to support them. Now, admittedly, a lot of them are working and are qualified, but there are a few people who may or may not be living off the state.
But everyone else is welcome if they're prepared to work.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Of any shape, colour, size, religion?
Yes. And, Pat, I'm looking for a job myself, and I'm nearly 80. Leave it at that, Pat.
Thank you very much for talking to me. Finally this morning, we're going to speak with one of those people who's come to start a new life in Ireland and in Balbriggan. His name is John Uhumiakpour. Now, John, you're PRO for the Balbriggan Integration Forum.
Yes,
what kind of work do you do?
Yes, Generally, we set up the integration forum in order to try to integrate all the minority group in the community as well as the host community. Because at the time when we came, or when I came, because I met some few people here when I came in 2006, so there were kind of clashes, you know, of culture, because we have a culture and the host community also has a culture. So it's a kind of confusion, you know, how to harmonize these cultures together and have a kind of peaceful coexistence. The community welcome every one of us here, and it is also our responsibility to understand the way life is taken here.
Now you are from Nigeria,
yeah.
And in your bones and in your blood, you'll always feel Nigerian. I mean, when Nigeria are playing football in the World Cup, you're cheering for Nigeria.
Yeah,
right? What happens in the next generation? Your son John, for example, as Irish as they come, with a local accent and so on, who does he cheer for?
They said to me in the house, "Dad, you are from Nigeria, I'm an Irish." I have a friend who traveled home to Nigeria with the children, and he said to the children, "Come, let's go home. Let's go and visit home." And when they were there, they said to Dad, "When are we coming back home?"
To Balbriggan.
Balbriggan. And so the dad was thinking, he took them home, but the children never felt that place as home.
How important is it, do you think, for migrant communities to retain the contacts, though, with the country from where the parents came? You know, whether you're Russian or whether you're Lithuanian or whether you're Nigerian or Ghanaian, how important do you think it is to let the children know, look, this is where you came from, you're Irish now, but this is your heritage?
Yeah, it's very important for them to know, because that's what we understand to be our identity. I will be seen as an African, and as an African, we have cultural values as well. And for the continuity of that identity to stay, the children need to understand both ways.
Well, we're going to delve much more into the question of integration on tomorrow's programme when we meet the young people of Balbriggan, young people who've come here from every corner of the world and who are now living lives quite different to the generations of young people in Irish schools of decades past. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow morning again here in Balbriggan as we continue to explore what I think is an absolutely fascinating place and ask how Ireland generally is dealing with integration.